Mahogany This Week Radio Network, broadcasting live from our Mahogany This Week studios in New York and the great city of Los Angeles. My name is Paul Cuthbert, manning the board here in New York. It's time to bring the host of Hockey West Radio, and that is Mr. Steve Palumbo. Steve, good evening to you, sir.
Good evening, and welcome to another episode of Hockey This Week Radio. I am Steve Palumbo, and I am hosting your show tonight with Paulie over there in New York. How you doing, Paulie?
I'm good, brother. It's it's Christmas time here for NHL fans. We got right in the thick of it, the middle of the NHL playoffs, man. So it's good times here. Hard to believe we are night one of the NHL playoffs.
Absolutely. A special time of the year for any hockey fan. Tonight's show is going to be a very special episode. Yes, a very special episode because it's our first episode we've done during the playoffs. We're going to look back to the season that was the Los Angeles Kings and what went wrong for them. I think then we'll take a look at the Anaheim Ducks and how they're going to fare against the Winnipeg Jets coming up in their first-round matchup, and then also take a look at the Western Conference matchups. A lot of things going on right now. As we speak right now, there are games already in progress. Ducks don't get into action until tomorrow. But I want to get started here by going back and talking about the void left by the defending Stanley Cup champions, not being part of the dance. It's kind of weird looking up at the bracket there and not seeing the LA Kings there or even the San Jose Sharks, but more importantly, the Kings after how dominant they've been over the last several years. As Paul and I, as we talked about last week, you know, when we recorded the show last week, that the Kings had that big game against Calgary coming up, and it was kind of a do-or-die situation, and I wasn't real confident that they had, you know, anything left in the tank, and as it turns out, they didn't, and they were eliminated by the Calgary Flames that night in a pretty sad effort. You know, it was kind of a sad way to see the Kings go out like that. And now here we are, playoffs starting, no Kings. Kind of looking back to what happened with the Kings there. Just as we spoke about, they kind of ran out of gas. They weren't able to beat a team like the Flames that was on fire. And, were you able to catch that game, Paul? What did you see that you kind of were like, wow? I mean, for me, it was just a situation where L.A. looked like they couldn't keep up with them at all. They made a little push at the end. You could just tell that this team was done. They tapped out, game over, and c'est la vie, the Flames took it.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're dead on about it. I mean, they're pretty much probably a tired hockey team. Maybe the mental part of the game as well, too, whether, you expect them to get in. I mean, it's a championship team. They played very deep, obviously, Stevie, the last couple of seasons here into the playoffs, into the finals. And, some injuries along the way, your system gets broken up. But, the Calgary Flames, it's just their year. Same thing along with Vancouver, two teams that were had pretty struggling seasons last year. And, sometimes the champs just get bit in the butt and there's a turnover, and it is surprising. It is unfortunate. And I know there's a lot of, the rest of the Western Conference is very happy, that the Kings aren't in it, because in a seven-game series, you never know what can happen. Teams get rejuvenated. But, you talk about this lineup, Stevie, and the names, Kopitar and obviously Quick and Nets here. And, a lot of pride on this team, too, in terms of, guys like Muzzin and, Doughty here and Matt Green. And it just goes up and down the lineup here in terms of Jeff Carter and the rest of them. It's hard to believe these stars are not in the NHL playoffs.
I'm right there with you. Look, obviously it's a very talented team. They've been very successful. But, as with any good team, eventually there are some cracks begin to show in the armor. Kind of starting to hear a little bit about that now with that situation. I guess with the Coach Sutter getting locked out of the locker room, they're trying to brush it under the rug, make it not a big deal. But these are the types of things that you start to hear, the sorts of things that kind of poke their head out there that come at the end of a team's run. We're seeing a lot of that right now at the San Jose Sharks. We had some more comments from Joe Thornton kind of taking a stab at his GM, and these are the things that kind of undo the success of teams. So I'm not saying that's going to be the situation with L.A., but when you look at them now and you look at the way that they're built, they've got some changes that they're going to have to make over the summer, whether they're going to buy out Mike Richards, are they going to bring any new bloods in, are they going to make any changes to that roster. I don't foresee anything drastic. This is not a team that is a mess right now. But these types of things are, they come up, and that's, we just got to pay attention to that, see how the summer unwinds. But, it is kind of weird not seeing them there, but it is what it is. No Kings leaves room for all these other teams. talked about. We've got Vancouver in there. We've got Calgary. We've got Minnesota. So there's a lot of really exciting playoff hockey, and the Kings are in the past now. So, you know, it's time to look ahead and take a look at the playoffs that are going on right now, especially with the Anaheim Ducks being the top team in the Western Conference, getting ready to start their series tomorrow with the Winnipeg Jets. And that's what I'm really excited about. I'm looking forward to now. It's the show for the Ducks now. Here it is. This is Anaheim's opportunity to kind of to draw the, you know, people's attention here in California back in and do something they haven't been able to done over the last, you know, couple of years, and make it past the second round. So I'm looking forward to that when it kicks off tomorrow. So
yeah, no doubt about it, Steven. Not to cut you off there, but just to bounce back to the Kings real quick. You know, maybe this team, maybe this franchise not only needs a physical rest, but a mental rest. And what
Absolutely.
Do you know about this whole Sutter locker room lockout gate? You know, it's hard to believe it originated here in New York with Brooks, the columnist for the Post. He's always had his, you know, I've always liked him as a writer. He gets his, finds a way. He does slap shots too. So he's really in touch with the NHL. But bring everybody up to speed in terms of what you heard with regards to the Epics, you know, the Winter Classic show. Just fill me in a little bit on that, because I've only seen bits and pieces, and what are your thoughts on it?
Well, when the story came out, it was one of these things that was, you know, the players had a meeting, some of the veterans, they locked the locker room door as after a bad loss. I think it was back in February. It was during the taping of the Epics series that was a prelude to the outdoor game with San Jose. Not only did they lock the door, they barricaded it with trash cans, and the whole thing was to kind of prevent, you know, the team getting chewed out by another one of their coaches' tirades. That's the way the story kind of, you know, has been portrayed, kind of a shift of the locker room, maybe tuning out the management or the coaching staff there. As frustration started to build, the Kings were kind of on a downward spiral right there. You know, and since the story's come out, we've heard several different versions of it. You know, the Kings, several players have come out, you know, GMs come out, and they're trying to brush it under the rug, saying it's not that big of a deal. They're more or less trying to keep, you know, the Epics crew out of there so that the Kings could kind of, you know, veterans or leadership of that, inside the locker room could kind of, you know, reel everybody back in and get them all on the same page. But, you know, again, it doesn't feel right to me. You know, it doesn't sound right. I know they're saying the right things in the media, but again, when we have a situation where there's any kind of discontentment or any kind of, you know, unsavory feeling that starts to develop in the locker room, especially towards the coaching staff, you know as well as I do, the coach is the one who's going to take the most of the, you know, the brunt of any kind of ill will from fans, from the management, from the team. So I definitely think that this is something we should pay attention to, and I think we're going to kind of hear more about it as the summer goes along. But right now it's kind of taken on a life of its own. So, you know, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, no, I guess that's what we have to do. You know, we're on the outside here and just waiting for – but getting back to that point, you know, in addition to the Kings maybe just needing a break here, maybe needing a rest, San Jose, the same thing too. A lot of expectations with them over the last few years. They had the playoff streak run. It's come to an end. You brought it up before about Thornton there and obviously Wilson, the GM, and who knows what's going to happen on that side as well. And I know we touched on that last week too. So, you know, you want to get into this now. I mean, obviously the team that needs to obviously have the main focus – is the team that really finished second in the league here to the Rangers. They've got a lot of great things going for them, and they fire up things against the Jets tomorrow night. So why don't you take us away here, Steve, and what are your thoughts initially on this matchup?
When the Ducks, you know, made some additions during the season, this was one of the kind of the matchups that they were kind of, you know, building for. They're going to be playing a hungry Winnipeg Jets team. Obviously, they haven't been to the playoffs as the new addition, as the Jets. Haven't been in the playoffs since they were back in Atlanta where they were swept. This franchise from Atlanta to Winnipeg has never won a playoff game, so they're going to be hungry. This is obviously a very physical team. They were the most penalized team in the NHL. And, you know, one of the knocks on the Ducks is that, you know, they could be banged around. They play physical. You kind of get them off their game. Corey Perry is one of the better players. He's a physical player. But, you know, you go down the lineup and you know, you can get them rattled. But the Ducks have prepared for this. You know, they've moved Patrick Maroon up to the top line with Getzloff and Perry, and he's a big body. And they're, you know, this is a team that is prepared to play a series like this. It's going to be a physical series. It's going to be a hard-fought series. It's going to come down to goaltending with and look right now looks like Freddie Anderson. It's going to. I think it's a pretty evenly matched series. Even though the Ducks are the top seed, I think Winnipeg came into the playoffs one of the hotter teams as they had to win several games down the stretch to get in there. So I'm looking forward to it. I think this is going to be one of those series that if the Ducks can get past it, they're going to be in good position moving forward. You know, having already played a really hard series, kind of getting them in that. They're going to, I mean, if they're not ready for playoff hockey, when that puck drops in game one, they will be ready because that team is going to come out banging.
Absolutely. So Go ahead. Steve. What I was going to ask you.
With the way that the situation right now in goal being, Freddie Anderson getting a start, John Gibson being, hurt right now. He has an undisclosed upper body injury, so it's going to be Freddie's team to start here. And I think that is also going to be something that's going to benefit the Ducks because Anderson's not going to have Gibson looking over his shoulder. He knows he's got the job as of right now to get the team there. And I think that is going to not only help his confidence, but help his team along the way. So.
Yeah, no, I mean, I definitely get your thoughts on the goaltending there and defensive end is too well. There's two guys that I want to get your thoughts on, Stevie, for me, and that's two additions that they've made. Obviously, in the offseason, Ryan Kessler, and obviously on defense there, they bring James Wisniewski back. What about those guys having an impact for the Ducks? Something maybe they were missing in the past that maybe they can help out this all-star forward group of forwards here. But talk about those two guys for me for a second.
Well, I think this is exactly why Ryan Kessler was brought in. He's always been a good playoff performer. He had a decent season. He's given some leadership to that team. He's got experience in the playoffs, and I think this is going to be the time that he's going to earn his money, so to speak, with the Ducks. He's one of those guys that will score the big goal for you. He can win faceoffs. So one of those intangibles that I think the Ducks have been missing over the last couple of years. So in that respect, I think this is going to be a time for him to shine along with his new teammates. And, you talk about Wisniewski. Again, they brought him in, a steady defenseman, somebody that could bang around a little bit. It's kind of up in the air what head coach Bruce Boudreau is going to do, whether Wisniewski might even play in the first game. But that kind of speaks to the depth that the Ducks have defensively. But again, he's someone that, again, brought in block shots to be a steady presence there for them. He knows the system. He's played in Anaheim before. He has, offside experience in the playoffs. So these are just some of the, little things where you want to try to fill in gaps and kind of fill in some of those cracks or those holes that you had in your past failings. And I think they've done a great job in doing that. So I'm excited for this thing to get started and I think, that the fans in Anaheim right now, in Orange County, they're loving it. They've got all these things going on. They've got this painted orange campaign going on. And there's a lot of excitement. So another early round, first round, second round knockout is going to be very disappointing. But I think this team is built to go far. So.
And your thoughts defensively here, guys like Cam Fowler and even, what a name, Hampus Lindholm, obviously, Boschman there as well, and even Sammy Vatanen, if I'm pronouncing his name right there. These guys log a lot of ice time. And obviously, and this could reflect maybe, talk about this in terms of their goaltending, which, I'll be, who's going to play? Who's going to Boudreau going to put in nets? Obviously, Anderson has been the guy who seems to be getting the mantle here throughout the season, but he's had some choppy parts during the course of the season. But you also got to remember the guys. He's a young guy, and then there's another young guy behind him in Gibson. But talk about the defensive core, and maybe even leading to the end of the season and the bulk of the season in terms of the ice time these guys put in. How do you think they pretty much played with the fact that they they have a couple of young net binders behind the pipes?
Well, like I was just mentioning, the Ducks have a lot of depth. They have a fairly balanced set of defensemen. You mentioned Lindholm, you mentioned Vatanen, and these guys score goals. They're young. They move the puck well. But again, being that they're young, they've been in the NHL, a couple seasons now, but they have a tendency to make mistakes. And we kind of saw this, we've seen this toward the end of the year. The Ducks kind of, it's sink or swim with them. They let in a couple goals. They'll either fight their way back or they'll just kind of fall apart. So those are the types of things that you want to watch from these young defensemen. They've all been in the playoffs before. Cam Fowler, You know, he's had some issues over the last couple of seasons, but he's grown up to be one of the leaders back there on the blue line. And it's all going to start with Francois Beauchemin. He's the veteran. He's the older guy. The guy blocks shots. He plays hard. He sacrifices his body. I think that he'll set a good example for these guys. And like I said, they've been there before. As long as they're not making mistakes and they're playing their position, I think they're going to do fine as far as that goes. And they do have the ability to chip in goals. I mean, they score goals. I think Lindholm and Vatanen were both in double digits, if I'm not mistaken. And that's going to correlate, it starts from the goalie all the way forward. So as far as the goalies go, you talked about Anderson and having issues. He's 25 years old, but even his head coach has said over this year, he's shown a tremendous amount of maturity. He had a tendency last season, and we thought he would get rattled, but he's a calming presence, and it's working its way forward. You know, he lets in a goal. He's not gonna show it, his emotions. He's gonna just get back in the crease, and make the next stop, and I think that in itself is gonna be a huge factor for him and how Boudreau decides to play the goaltending situation. Gibson's 21 years old. Obviously, he came in last year. I played some big minutes with them, won some big games, but we've talked about this. I don't know how many times this team cannot win with the tandem situation. They got to pick somebody, and they just got to ride him. And I firmly believe it has to be Freddie Anderson. I think he's ready to make that next step. And if this team is going to be a team that is going to go far and continue to compete for years on, they're going to have to go with him. Last year they had the three-headed monster with Hiller, Anderson, and Gibson. You don't have that this year, and they're going to only go as far as he takes them. And I think this is his opportunity, and I know he's got the support of his coach where he's going to ride this team, hopefully, all the way to the promised land. So, not to be too cliche, but...
Absolutely. And speaking of Coach Boudreau, 51 wins here, 109 points for the season. What kind of a grade would you give the coach here? I mean, like I said, you can't get much higher than that. Only the Rangers and the Canadians are up there as well. But your thoughts on Boudreau, taking over this team the last couple of years, and, it's been an up-and-down ride here. Do you think this is the season for him? This is the playoffs. He's got to win this year. Is it that kind of a feeling for yourself? Or do you think, Boudreau's a guy to have here in terms of maybe, the long term here, the next couple of seasons with guys like Ryan here and Getzlaff and the rest of the core?
Well, obviously the roster, especially those veteran guys, are not going to get any younger. And for Bruce Boudreau to be considered an elite head coach in the NHL, he's got to get past the second round. And looking at the numbers that this team has put up, regular season numbers over the last couple of years, it's obvious, he makes the most of what he's got. He's got a talented lineup, but he does have a way to get his team to perform. He did the same thing kind of in Washington. For some reason in the playoffs, his coaching style and sometimes he does have, the head-scratching calls, the things that he does sometimes, they kind of come back to bite him, But I think that this is going to be the year where it's kind of a make or break for Bruce Boudreau. he's got to get this team past the second round. I think he's well liked here by the fan base. He's well respected by his players. I know he's got the support of the management, but he's got to be able to take this collection of talent and move them forward. And if you look at some of the things that this team's been able to accomplish over the last couple of years, they had the most one goal victories in NHL history. They had the most wins when tied or trailing in the third period of any team in the NHL. They tied a record for the most wins when trailing after two periods. These types of things speak to a team that never gives up. They always feel like they're in the game. And I think that starts with the head coach. He doesn't let, his players get down. A pat on the shoulder when you get back on the bench, pumping them up, making the right, putting the right players out there in the right situation. So, he's done a good job, but you're only as good as your resume in the playoffs. We all know that you're graded on championships or titles. So I think that this is it. He's got to do something with his team. Even if they don't win the cup, if they get to the conference finals or get to the Stanley Cup finals, I think it'll be a good, a good season as far as him. It'll kind of get him past that second round barrier. Because like I said, since the Ducks have won the cup, they've never been past the second round. And Bruce Boudreau, the head coach, has never been past the second round. So.
Yeah, and you bring that up there too. Unfortunately for Bruce here, it goes back to him and his Caps teams. you know, a lot of star power, a lot of expectations, and again, no success there. You know, getting knocked out in the playoffs too as well. So I agree with you. It's going to be interesting to see him. I'm sure there's a lot of pressure on him, but you get a clean slate. Steve, I know you want to bounce around the West, the rest of the playoffs here, the Western Conference, but before we do that, I want to get your thoughts on this Winnipeg Jets team that the Ducks are going to face here. How do you think this series is going to go, and how do you think the Ducks have to, you know, play against this squad, you know, in terms of everything with them? You know, they're still a young team. Paul Maurice coming in there, turning things around for the organization. They lost Bufflin there at the end of the season for four games when they had to win. They came through. So you just take it away here in terms of the respect. Do you have respect for the Winnipeg Jets, or do you not, Mr. Palumbo?
Absolutely have respect for this team. I mean, the games in Winnipeg are going to be ridiculous. The fans there are absolutely insane. They're going to go nuts. So that in itself is going to be something difficult for the Ducks to overcome. But as far as the team itself, I mean, they completely changed their identity when they traded away Evander Kane. They brought in Stafford. They brought in Myers. They brought in Stepniak. And those guys have done nothing but produce since they were acquired. And so it kind of gives the team a whole new personality, a whole new look, and that kind of gave them the life to kind of, you know, propel them into the playoffs. But you look at what the Ducks have to do to beat this team, it is not going to be easy. And one of the things that the Ducks have really struggled with over the last several years is the man advantage. You know, they're not one of the better teams on the power play, and I'm kind of being kind when I say that. So, you know, as I mentioned earlier, Winnipeg was the most penalized team in the NHL. So they do play physical, but they do have a tendency to take penalties. So the Ducks have got to be able to capitalize on this. I think when you look at 5-on-5, they're going to match up really well. It's going to be really tight. I think goals are going to be at a premium here with the quality of the goaltending. And I think the special teams, and again, I'm not trying to sound playoff cliche here, but special teams are going to be play a huge role in the series. And the Ducks have got to be able to take advantage of these situations that they're going to have. And they're going to have them. It's just the way that Winnipeg plays. I know several of the Ducks players have said they got to play, you know, within the whistles, which means they don't want to retaliate. They don't want to take any of these, you know, unnecessary penalties, retaliation penalty type things. They want to just kind of, you know, play Winnipeg's game, but do it in a way where Winnipeg will be the one that kind of, you know, oversteps their boundaries, and the Ducks got to take advantage of that. So I think this is going to be one heck of a series, you know. It's definitely going to be a test for the Ducks, but I do think they have enough talent to beat this team. I think, you know, it'll be a lengthy series, but not a 7-game series. You're looking at a 6-game series out of this. But if the Ducks cannot get their special teams together, they're going to have a tough time moving past this round.
Yeah, and, you know, Winnipeg also, you know, added a couple of new guys to the roster, too. Drew Stafford there, Tyler Myers, win the Evander Kane trade that you brought up before, too. And even, a travelman like himself, Lee Stepniak, pick up from the Rangers. You know, these guys have worked out since they've come over, and that's something that the Ducks obviously throughout the season didn't face when they played these guys. So your take on those three guys joining the mix here?
Well, you know, the Ducks, you know, they played the Jets three times this year. They won all three games, but all three of those games came prior to the trades up of the Evander Kane trade that brought these guys over. So they're going to see a completely different team. And, you know, Stafford, I think, has 9 or 10 goals since coming over. Stepniak has contributed goals. They've all been playing, big minutes. Myers has been a huge addition back there for them. So, again, it's not the same team that the Ducks face in the regular season. So there is going to be some adjusting. I think you'll see a lot of feeling out in game one as the Ducks, you know, get their matchups set up. But you can see some of that already taking place now with the line juggling and some of the shuffling to kind of get the matchups that Boudreaux's doing here. But got to throw those games in the regular season out because, like I said, it's a completely different team now. The mental makeup of the team and the way that they kind of approach the game is different. So you're going to see some that feeling out process, and it might make for some boring hockey at first. But once the series gets revved up, man, it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And you know it, too. I've seen it on TV. It's always been great to watch the Anaheim fan base. The Honda Center gets jacked up. One of the biggest things that always impressed me about the Anaheim fan base is, like, on a Monday or a Tuesday night, they might be playing, like, you know, the Devils or the Islanders. So, you know, somebody from, you know, they rarely get to play, and the place is jam-packed, sold out, going nuts. And you add that now with Winnipeg, first year back in the playoffs since the team has returned there. It's going to be pretty awesome. Steve, let's take a turn here and look at the refs. We talked about, like I said, the Kings and the Sharks, two of the big boys. They're not in the dance this year. Why don't you take it away here, St. Louis and Minnie. Nashville and Chicago playing right now. Nashville's up 3-0 already. Vancouver and Calgary later tonight. Did you fill out your bracket challenge? And who do you got coming out of the West? What's going on, buddy?
I did fill out my bracket. I took the time and sat down. I really tried to think about it because my, if you remember, my early season predictions didn't quite go so well. But I did. Let's start here with the Vancouver Calgary series. I've got Vancouver winning that series, but I think it's going to be, again, just an amazing atmosphere. You know, both of those cities. After the disaster that happened last year under John Tortorella in Vancouver, to see them come back the way they have and kind of put together the season they did. And, of course, Calgary hasn't been in the playoffs in a few seasons now, and they're back. And it's just great. Two Canadian cities ready to just go nuts. I think it's going to be an outstanding series. But I do think that Vancouver has got the experience and enough depth to eliminate the Red Hawk Flames. So I'm going to stick there with the Canucks in that one. But, you know, it very easily could go the other way, the way that the Flames have been playing. But I think, you know, after what happened and the embarrassment, you know, the Sedins had a bounce-back season this year. You got, you know, some excellent goaltending there in Vancouver. They also made some changes in the offseason. But they the way they come back, I just look for them to move on. What's your take on that series? What do you think when you see that? The way that those teams match up,
I think it's going to go seven. I hope it goes seven, and I'm going to take the Canucks there at the end of it. Just I'm going to put my money on Eddie Lack and the Sedin twins.
The series that I'm kind of really looking forward to, besides the Ducks and the Jets, is going to be the St. Louis Minnesota series. Kind of got vested interest in both sides there. You got Martin Brodeur in the front office in St. Louis, and that is just a well-run organization. They're where they should be. You go over to Minnesota. I mean, the team looked like they were going to miss the playoffs, and they make this trade with Arizona to bring in Devan Dubnyk, and the guy is just lights out. You know, they're led by Zach Parise, and I have them upsetting St. Louis in this round. Just the way that Minnesota played hockey down the stretch, and how hockey crazed their fans are there. St. Louis has a tendency to kind of come into the playoffs red hot and fail, kind of like the Ducks do. And I'm going with Minnesota in this one. I'm going to go seven games with Minnesota winning a hard, hard-fought series.
Well, you know what that means? That means Hitchcock's out of a job next year, buddy. What about his family?
Hey.
And his? I mean, you're not thinking about Ken Hitchcock here, buddy.
They should just fire their assistant GM, and then he can take a job in New Jersey. But
all right. So the Wild, okay.
Hey, it might not be a popular pick, but that I've been so impressed with watching. They're a lot of fun, a lot of young talent on that team. The goaltending, the guy's got, you know, he's been in the NHL five seasons, and he just comes over to a team that's kind of floundering. He leads the worst team, one of the worst teams in the NHL, comes over to a team that's kind of stagnant and completely turns them around and changes the culture in the locker room there, and they just kind of power their way into the playoffs. So there's got to be something to be said for that.
No, I agree with you, man. Go ahead, bro. I agree with you, though. I don't think it's that crazy of a pick, so I'm with you, man. I got Minnesota, too, winning that series in six. Go ahead.
All right. See, there you go. Come on. All right, we go over to the game that's on right now, and with Nashville and Chicago. Okay, Chicago, been there, done that. This is a team just like the Ducks. You expect them to be there. A lot of veteran presence. They get Patrick Kane back, supposed to give him a little bit of boost. You got Nashville. They've got crazy fans, too. They haven't been there in a while, and here they are. They're knocking the Blackhawks around right now. I have Chicago winning this series, but, I could see them getting swept by the Preds. So, especially with Pekka, he's a guy's outstanding, and goaltending, you know, again, big deal in the playoffs. So, could go any way. I mean, this is going to be a lot of fun. I mean, it's exciting. I mean, you know, not having the Kings and the Sharks there has opened up for the Canadian teams to kind of push in there. You got a lot, the Canadian presence in the East. You got the Canadian presence in the West. You got just original six teams. I mean, it's a lot of fun. This is going to be an just an exciting playoff year, probably one of the most exciting years that I've, you know, felt in a while. It's been a while since I've got revved up for the playoffs, but this one's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, you know, I agree with you too, Steve, you know, and I always like seeing different teams in there. You know, it's unfortunate that Vancouver and Calgary are going to, one of them's going to knock each other out. You got to love the Winnipeg story, playing the Ducks, and just what we talked about before, the storyline with Anaheim, maybe the pressure on Boudreau here. Nashville and Chicago, you know, we talk about a tired Kings, a tired San Jose, the Blackhawks too. This might be, you know, this year they might run out of gas. And Nashville, very strong in the beginning. Not a great finish. They get a clean slate here, too. And, you know, you bring it up, too. It's Pecorine. It's goaltending. You know, see what happens there. And obviously, you know, Minnesota, a lot of emotion. Big leaders there in terms of Suter there and Parisi, what they went through emotionally this year, how they came back. Devin Dubnyk, like you brought up. I love, you know, Coach Yao. I think it's a good story there. And Minnesota, great fan base. They'll be fired up. And I think a lot of the pressure is, you know, on St. Louis. I think Minnesota's playing with house money. And, you know, you get to possibly see a Nashville-Minnesota, you know, divisional round next round. Could be pretty exciting.
Absolutely. I mean, who doesn't love that? I mean, you want to see hockey be successful in these non-traditional markets. And it's nice to, you, I mean, Minnesota, hockey tradition, boom. But Nashville, the honky-tonk, those people there are absolutely nuts about their hockey team. And that would be just again, another fun atmosphere. I mean, you got so many. You got in the East, you got the, you know, Rangers, you got the Islanders, you got the Bell Center there in Montreal. And then you come out to the West, and you got all these crazy hockey fired up towns. And I mean, man, this is just what we live for as hockey fans. You kind of go through the 82 game season, and you have all these ups and downs. But then, you know, April comes and the playoffs start, and you just start looking at the potential of these matchups, and you look forward a little bit, and ooh, what do you have to do for this team to meet this team? And, you know, it's a good time, and I'm just going to sit back and enjoy all of it, and hopefully enjoy the Ducks go all the way to the final, where I have them losing to the Rangers. But we'll talk about that another time.
Oh, buddy, I tell you, man, I got them too. I got my Rangers winning this year. I'm going to be at the Canyon of Heroes in New York, and I got the Preds going all the way, though, in the Western Conference. So we'll see what happens, man. It's fun. Like you said, man, it's Christmas time for hockey fans here. It's great stuff. So, Stevie, give you the last word here, obviously, before I sign us off. But, you know, your take here, just to sum up, you know, you've said it so well in terms of it being different. It's a different feel in the Western Conference this year, you know, in terms of, you know, the Kings and the Sharks not being out of it. But I think you bring up great points in terms of, you know, St. Louis and Nashville and even Minnesota, like you said, and definitely Anaheim, a chance to get an opportunity, a huge opportunity here to maybe take back the mantle. So take it away here. Wrap it up. A couple final thoughts before we sign off.
Well, let me just say this, you know, It is. You mentioned the Christmas thing, and every night we're going to have a new game, and it's going to be like unwrapping a different present every single day. So depending on who you're watching or what your rooting interest is, there's nothing, you know, you can't go wrong with anything here. And you know, NBC, with this great coverage that they got, you can watch several different games and be exposed to several different markets. And, you know, as fans out there, I just encourage everybody to just enjoy it. You know, a team you wouldn't normally watch, get in there, watch them, and just kind of enjoy the atmosphere. And we could see a crazy Stanley Cup final. We could see it, you know, a powerhouse Stanley Cup final. And whatever, you know, however it gets that way, it's going to be a wild ride all the way there. And you know, hopefully we just get to see some of that, you know, those crazy moments that you see in the Stanley Cup Finals, where you had last year at the Kings coming back from down, being down three games to none. You have these multi-overtime games, and you know, just as a hockey fan, you just got to enjoy this time, and it's you know, I'm fired up. I'm excited, man.
Me too, brother. I hope they all go 7-0 at the double and triple overtime. So keep it going as long as you can. It's going to be a long couple of months here. Great stuff. Buddy, I'm fired up for you, man. Great stuff on the show tonight. Looking forward to it. Hopefully the Ducks take us a long way as well, too. But really good stuff. Tell everybody where they can find you on Twitter, Steve.
Yes, thank you for tuning in to our madness here. But you can find me at Steve Palumbo HTW or at Steve Palumbo HTW. And you can tune in here every night on Wednesday and listen to Paulie and I go crazy. So, Paulie, pleasure. And signing off here from the beautiful, sunny Southern California, I'm going to go back and grab a drink and sit on the beach.
All right, brother. Enjoy your night of hockey, man, and we'll catch up with you next week. Thanks so much, buddy. Steve Palumbo, ladies and gentlemen, your host of Hockey West Radio right here on the Hockey This Week Radio Network. My name is Paul Cuppard. I'm going to sign off. Catch us here at HCW2, HCW Radio, all the archives, just in case you missed the show. You never do here on our network. They're always available 24/7. So, everybody, take care of yourselves. Enjoy the playoffs, and enjoy California, baby.